Merkle Media.
I guess it's time to go back in time.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
I have a lot of memories of the past.
People are time traveling within themselves.
Time travel is possible.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me, and they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Okay, I'll reload it!
Yep. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkle. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. That's theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. And if you want some extra shows every week, go ahead to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, and check out the join section. Every Thursday, members get an extra show just for them on the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com. And there's also access to forums and great things like that with live shows, live call-in numbers, lots of cool stuff at theconfessionalspodcast.com. Now, this week, we have a great show coming up. We have Jeff coming on, who actually saw a gargoyle-type demonic entity when he was a teenager with his friends in a car. And he talks about this experience of this thing and what they saw and how it spawned a lot of paranormal experiences throughout his life. So he's going to be coming on to share his experiences. And I want to let everybody know that I had a lot of people reaching out to me last week telling me they loved the outro music. And that's actually a change of times, because when I first started the show, people hated the music I played on outros. But it seems like people have been getting more and more used to the mixes and the mashups that I've been playing. So what I'm going to do this week, whether you love it or hate it, I'm going to play a mashup that I made myself. And then we're going to go into an entire The Confessionals mix, where it's about 25 minutes of pure mashup mix for those who are mashup mix junkies just like me. If you want, go ahead and follow me on Instagram, Tony_Merkle, and The Confessionals Podcast. And you can actually also follow my brother Jack, who is my live show producer, at Jack_TheProducer. That's Jack_TheProducer. He's 24 years old and he's oblivious to social media, and I finally got him on Instagram. So definitely go to his Instagram, Jack_TheProducer, and give him a follow, show him some love, because the kid's actually doing something on social media. So let's listen to the trailer for this coming Thursday's member episode, and then we'll get right into it with Jeff. Let's go.
This
this was many moons ago. I was driving back from Iowa. I was coming out of Jefferson City, Missouri, heading down to Fort Leonard. And I was on Highway 54, I believe. And as I was coming out of there, right in front of me in the highway, obviously up in the sky, was this huge, bright, yellowish, white light. Bright as all could be. And if it wasn't in the middle of the highway, kind of, I would like, that looks like a pop-up flare. Except when a pop-up comes down, it floats and goes side to side. But this thing just was stationary. It was really strange. And as I was driving, it just stayed there. It didn't move. And as I got a little bit further, I watched it probably for 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, it just disappeared. It was gone. Just like that. I was like, what in the hell was that?
All right, today we got a great show coming up. We have Jeff coming on. Jeff, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, bud. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. So listen, this morning I reread the email you sent me and you were talking with us about, and I'm really excited to hear this story because it has layers. It's intriguing. It's just, it has everything I'm looking for in a spooky, scary story. So I don't want to give too much away, but you and your friends were driving down an unknown road pretty much. And you can go into why you guys were out there and what was going on and everything. But you guys came across a creature that is pretty scary. So Jeff, if you would like to just kind of go into what you guys were doing out there, what was going on, and how did you guys come across what you saw?
All right. We lived in a small town, you know, there wasn't a whole lot. So there's not really a whole lot to do for teenagers, you know, and me and the three other friends of mine had piled into one of my buddy's cars. And, you know, we weren't really into drinking or drugs or anything, but we wanted to try and find a party because that's usually where the girls are going to be. So we piled into my buddy's car and we were going to go to this place called Jackman Trail. Now that's just what the locals call it. If you look for Jackman Trail on a map, you'll never find it. And what it basically is there's a river that goes through the town I grew up in called the Saline River, and the interstate passes over it. And there's an overpass. It's about, you know, 80 to 100 feet above the river. So what would happen is, you know, teenagers would go down there and they were pretty obscured and they'd hang out and party and whatnot. And to get to it, you had to go through this weird roundabout way. There was only one road in and out. And part of the road led you through this really sketchy looking rundown trailer park. And then it was woods on both sides until you got down through some rough roads down to the river where everybody would be. So we decided to go down there and check out the river and see if we could find anything going on. And we get down there and there's nothing going on. There's nobody there. So we figured we made the drive. We'll hang out for a few minutes and then we'll jump back in the car and head back to town and see what we can find. And on our way out, you know, we were coming up through the rough part of the road. We were starting to get to some of the smoother area of the road. It was still a dirt road. And we got to a part that was a straightaway in between the river and where the trailer park started. And it was lined with trees down the left and the right side. Well, we made this turn. And as we made this turn, the lights hit something on the left side of the road. And this was really only a one lane road. It wasn't much bigger than for one, you know, like a pickup or something to drive down. And me and the driver, I'm sitting in the, I've got my buddy's driving. I don't want to use his name. We'll just call him F. My buddy F was driving and I'm in the front passenger seat and I have two more friends that are in the back seat. They're just kind of goofing off, you know, messing around, talking about stuff and, you know, typical teenager crap. And, you know, my buddy F and I are looking at this thing, trying to figure out what it is as we're slowly approaching it. And when the lights fully hit it, it's this monster looking thing. It was squatted down and I could see its legs. It had long, skinny legs and it looked like it was crouched down. And its arms were also very skinny and very long. They were so long that the backs of his hands and his knuckles were actually sitting on the ground. And it had the skin had kind of a pale greenish tint to it with bumps, weird sized bumps in different places. And I could see the bumps because of the shadows of the light hitting them. I could see the projected shadows where the bumps were. And it had this unnaturally long and slender face. And it turned, slowly looked at the car, and its eyes, it had eye shine. It was a yellow eye shine. And when it saw the car, it let out this god-awful scream that, I mean, I could never reproduce it, but I'll never forget it either. And in its mouth were these long, sharp teeth just everywhere. And I don't, they had it old school. They rebooted it lately. But do you remember that show V, where you had the aliens that would eat the mice and their mouths would open really big like a snake? Its mouth seemed to do that when it opened and screamed at the car. And then it jumped. This thing did not have wings or anything. It jumped from the left side of the road across to the right side, landed in the top of a tree, and was gone. And I didn't, only reason I knew that it had landed in the top of a tree was because I could see that part of the tree move. Because we had our bright lights on, and I could see the tree moving. After that, that thing was gone. So my buddy who was driving, he and I both screamed at the same time, and he floored it. We got out of there, and we stopped a few miles down the road at a gas station, and we got out, we were talking about it, and the two guys in the back seat were asking us, well, what was that, man? What was going on? And we said, we think we saw a demon. And they're just like, oh, yeah, whatever. You guys are messing with us. No, no, man. I'm serious. We were dead serious. You know, we at the time, we thought it was a demon. But, you know, looking back, I don't know what that thing was. Because when you see things that you don't understand, you look at it through the filter of your beliefs. And at the time, I was really very heavily involved in church and things like that. I know that sounds kind of contrary to us looking for girls, but teenagers, right? But I was very heavily involved in church, so that's what I thought. I mean, it looked like a kind of like a gargoyle, a wingless gargoyle, only thinner and taller, and it had the yellow eyes, and it scared me so bad, Tony, that I would not go down to that area. It took 20 years before I went back down there. Now they've cleared out all those trees, and they've made it a stocked lake and a park and everything for people to go and fish, and they got walking trails and everything like that. It took my wife a good month of convincing to get me to go down there with her to do the walking trails, because I wasn't going to do it because of what I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. And if you went through something like that as a teenager, you're not going to want to go back down there ever, because you know it's down there. You know, I said to you before we started going live here at the recording, to me, it sounded like a gargoyle, but you said there was no wings, right?
Right. No wings.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know much about gargoyles, and I don't know if they are required to have wings to be a gargoyle. But the only other thing I could think of is, I mean, it didn't look like a canine, right? I mean, I think you would have probably described it like that if it did.
No, it didn't look like a canine. Its face, actually, where its nose was, its nose would look like if you had shaved a human's nose off and all you had was the nostrils and the skull that was covered by skin is kind of what the nose looked like. It didn't actually have a snout or anything.
How thin was it?
It was thin. Basically, when you see images on television for people who are starving and things like that, and you see how thin they are, it was thin like that.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder if you came across one of those rakes. Do you know about the rakes?
I've heard about them, but I don't know a whole lot about them.
I mean, I don't know a ton about them and stuff, but what you just described is fitting the imagery that I have in my head of these things called the rakes, where they're like a humanoid looking figure, very lanky and skinny and almost like they're starved. And the face is very very demonic looking. And when you said the shaved nose kind of thing, that's kind of how I picture a rake. And I think if I were to look up some pictures of supposed rakes, they look very similar to that.
That's crazy. I mean, I tried, you know, at first, like I said, I thought it was a demon. And then I started thinking, well, maybe it was something else. And I started looking at things like, well, could it have been like a Baphomet or something like that? And it didn't really seem to fit that Baphomet description. And through all of my internet searching and everything, I'm just trying to type in this description, I could never find anything that could even remotely compare to what this thing was. And it just, it was one of the scariest things that I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to send you a picture of a rake, and I want you to tell me if this is what you saw or something similar.
Okay.
Are you able to?
I can pull it up on my phone.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I just hit send now. Let me know when you see it.
Okay. Refreshing my email here. There it is. That is pretty similar, only the face is not nearly as long and slender as this one's was.
Okay.
The body looks almost dead on, but this face looks more rounded, like a human's face. This thing's face was, if I had to guess, it was probably only maybe 6 inches wide and tapered down toward the chin. And it looked like it was every bit of 16 inches from top of the head to chin.
Wow.
And of course that's a guess, but I mean, that's just, it was those kinds of dimensions to where the head was abnormally long and thin, but the body looks very, very similar to this. The shoulders on this, on the rake are maybe it's just the way the picture is where you're kind of seeing, some of the back muscles and the shoulder blades, but the shoulders on this one were thinner as well. But that's the main difference that I see, is just the head was completely different.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't know much about the rake as to know if, you know, there's only one size fits all with the rake. You know what I mean? I don't know if there's different ways they can look and things like that. But, when you were driving the car, when your friend was driving the car, did you say something about the eyes changing color, or was that just from the headlights hitting it?
That was just from the headlights hitting it. When it looked at the car, because when we first pulled up on it, it was looking straight ahead of itself across the road, because its body was squared and oriented toward the opposite side of the road, toward the right side of the road. So whenever our lights hit it, it slowly turned its head toward us, and only its head. It didn't move its body. And that's when it was like yellow eye shine. It almost had like some orange properties to it, some orangish yellow eye shine.
Well, that's really interesting, man. And so that alone, I mean, first of all, I guess when you said it jumped across the street and into the tree, I mean, you said what, it was about 20 feet up into the tree?
20, 25 feet, yeah.
Okay. And it was just in one leap from the squat position up into the tree.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't do anything to prepare for it. It was like it stood up fast and was just in the other tree.
Jeez.
And I saw it go.
Yeah. And so, I mean, when you see that happen, it just seems very unnatural, supernatural. You're dealing with something that's not a natural creature. At least that's what you would think right away. And I would think the same thing. How tall do you think this would have been when you saw it like stretch out as it jumped? How tall would you think it would be?
Squatted down beside the road, I estimated that it was probably about maybe 3.5 to 4 feet tall. Because we got pretty close to it with the car before it jumped. And then when it jumped and stretched out, it almost looks like the way a frog looks when it jumps and stretches out. So I'd have to say that thing's size almost doubled easily when it was completely stretched, with its arms outstretched forward in front of it and its legs behind it.
Jeez. Yeah, that's got to be terrifying. And, you know, the friends in the back seat that didn't see it and stuff, I mean, they clearly couldn't have been as scared as you and your friend that actually saw this thing. I mean, it's got to be terrifying.
Yeah, because the weird thing about it was at first, I know what was going through my mind was that's a dog, that's, you know, somebody screwing around, you know, because we didn't actually scream and get terrified till the thing jumped, because it screamed and then jumped and just I mean, that's that quickly in a matter of a second. It screamed at the car and then jumped. And that's when the reality of what we had just seen had set in on us. And we knew that we had to get out of there because I don't know if this thing is trying to get away from us. I don't know if it's coming back. I'm sure as hell not getting out of the car to look for it, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. So this experience that you had happens, but that's not the end of the story because this is like a marking point in a timeline where you've had really strange things happening around you. And before you get into those parts of the story, do you feel like this experience you went through with your friend is the reason why you had these experiences?
I do. I really do. Because, I mean, I'd had some things happen when I was young, but it was just like one little thing that had happened. And I can go into that if you want me to, or I can...
Yeah, go ahead.
Finish with. Well, when I was a little kid, and I'd probably say maybe 4 or 5 years old, it was Christmas Eve, and I was laying in bed with my parents. My dad, I was in between them. My mom was to my right. She had the lamp on, and she was reading a book, and my dad was asleep on the other side of me. And I was excited. I couldn't sleep because it was Christmas Eve. And I looked up in the doorway, and I saw this basically a shadow figure standing there, but instead of it being all black, it was a rust color. And it didn't scare me because being a small child, what I thought this was Santa Claus coming in to deliver the gifts and everything. And so I'd better pretend like I was asleep. So I kind of closed my eyes for a second and then opened one of my eyes back up and it was still there. And then I saw it move down the hallway and out of the doorway. And that was the very first thing that really ever happened to me that I could think of as being supernatural. And they didn't, like I said, it didn't scare me because I thought it was Santa Claus. Even though it didn't look anything like any representation of Santa Claus, you know, that's what I thought. So I just tried to go back to sleep so that I would get, make sure my gifts were there on Christmas morning.
Yeah, I can understand that. So you think this is Santa Claus at first, but there was no definition. It was just like an outline figure that was the color of rust.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It kind of looked like, I'm not sure how familiar you would be or any of the listeners would be with photo editing, but when you add noise to a kind of like static on a TV, when you add noise to an image, it kind of speckles.
Yeah.
It was like that, but it was an orangish rust color with what looked like it had noise all through it.
I got you. Yeah, it makes sense, actually. And that's very interesting. So you have that experience, and that was before this, I don't even know what to call it, gargoyle rake demon thing that you guys came across, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that happened when I was 5.
And that was the only thing that happened before this rake gargoyle monster thing, right?
That is the only thing remotely supernatural that happened to me before this encounter with this thing.
All right. Well, so that's the only thing that happened. And do you think, before we move into any other stories, do you think that that small instance of that figure that you saw was some kind of maybe marker on your life? Because I do ask that question sometimes to people because it seems like sometimes people have a early on paranormal experience and it seems like from that experience, everything else developed. But when I was talking to you earlier, it sounded like more like this experience you had with your friends in the woods with this creature is what really kind of marked your life with these paranormal experiences.
Yeah, it was because that instance with the kind of rust colored shadow figure, that was the only thing that ever happened until I was about, you know, 15, 16 when we saw this creature in the woods. And after that is when things started happening in my house and it kind of followed me even into adulthood.
Well, why don't you start going into some of that stuff? So you have this experience. What were some of the things that you started noticing happening around you after seeing this creature?
A lot of things start happening in the house that were kind of like a poltergeist kind of activity. I would be in my room and my vent for that, my air conditioning vent is on the opposite side of the room from the exterior window. And so whenever the AC kicked on, it never moved any curtains, it never moved anything like that. Heater, AC, didn't move anything. And I'd be in my room and the curtains would just start shaking and vibrating. And at first it would really freak me out and I'd leave the room, but then I started getting to the point where it happened so often, I would just say, knock it off, and it would stop. I had a little, like an American flag that I had stuck inside of the little thing that held the curtain back, and that would start waving, and it would eventually come out and fall on the floor. And I'd, say, knock it off, leave me alone. Just little things like that, things moving, things disappearing and me not being able to find them. One particularly notable thing that really freaked me out was I used to have this, it was like a squeeze bottle, like a sports bottle that people use these days. And it's one that's, it's not got the real open top on it. It's got the push down and push up top. You have to squeeze it to get anything to come out. I had it sitting beside my bed with water in it, and I was getting ready to go to sleep. And while I was laying there in my bed, I heard a weird kind of like sound, kind of almost like a small whistle. And I look over, and the sides of that water bottle are sucking in, and there's a spout of water shooting up out of it about 4 or 5 inches. And it does this until nearly the entire bottle is empty. And it just got water everywhere. And I'm sitting here just looking at this thing, just not knowing what to do at all, trying to think, okay, because the first thing I try to do is I'm an open-minded skeptic about things. Like I hear things and I don't immediately jump to it being supernatural or anything like that. I try to rationalize it first. I try to find a way of making sure that it's not some natural phenomenon. So the first thing I started asking myself is, okay, is this something due to some sort of a temperature differential in the room? Is there some sort of pressure differential inside of the bottle that's causing this? I could not reproduce that no matter how many times I tried. The only way to reproduce it was for me to squeeze the thing as hard as I could on each side. Not even a little bit, but I had to squeeze it as hard as I could to get it to even get a plume of water up that far. And that freaked me out. But those kinds of things, with the things moving, things disappearing, water bottles doing weird things, that all went on the entire time that I lived in my parents' house. This was in my parents' house. And one night, it was happening almost every night, but finally it had been quiet for a little while. So I'm laying in my bed. And I would always sleep with my door shut, but with the hall light on outside. And, at the time, the bed I was sleeping in was pretty high off the ground. And I woke up and I see a person standing over me, looking down at me. And I didn't think anything of it. And then I went back to sleep. And then the next morning when I woke up, I started thinking about what I'd seen. And there was just so many things that stood out that weren't right. First was, usually when you have someone who's backlit by a light, their front is going to be in shadow, but you're at least going to see some bit of what color their clothing is, because of the light behind is going to kind of wrap around enough to let you see some color of the clothing. It was a uniform black all the way, like it's just a shadow, like a very solid shadow of like a bald guy. And then another thing that made it really stand out as being odd was that this thing was standing next to my bed with its back to the bed, arms crossed, looking down at me over its left shoulder. So it wasn't even facing me. And I was trying to figure out, why, because at first I thought it was just my dad checking on me. But then I realized where the backs of this thing's knees were. And where the backs of this thing's knees were at, it was even with the top of my mattress. That would have meant this thing had to have been 6'3", 6'4". My dad was 5'9". So there was no way that could have been my dad. And then I asked him the next day, why are you coming to my room in the middle of the night just staring at me? He said, I didn't do that. And I know it wasn't my mom, because my mom was 4'11". And this person, it looked like just like your generic man, no hair, and just a silhouette. And it was solid black. I closed my eyes, tried to go back to sleep, woke up a little while later. I don't know how long later. It was still there. Closed my eyes again, fell back asleep. And when I woke up again, it was gone, but the door was still open.
Jeez. So I guess it's one of those situations where you're in the middle of your sleep, so you don't react to things the way you would if you were awake. Because I'm assuming if you were, you know, awake and you see something like that, you'd have a much different reaction. But, you know, a kid half asleep, it's kind of like when you pull a kid out of a car after they're asleep, and that you could pretty much do anything and they're not going to wake up, you know?
Yeah, because my first assumption was that it was my dad just checking on me for some reason. He never did that. He didn't do those kinds of things because I'm, you know, 15, 16 years old. He didn't really do that. So that was my first assumption. So I didn't feel any kind of fear. I didn't start getting freaked out until I realized that wasn't him. He wasn't playing a joke on me. He wasn't messing with me. It couldn't have been my mom because my mom worked nights at the time and she was 4'11". So then I was just left with the thought of what in the world was this thing?
So when it was there, it had its back towards you with its arms crossed, but it was looking at you over its left shoulder, right?
Yeah, it was like it backed itself up against my bed mattresses where the backs of its legs were touching my mattress. And then it had its arms crossed across its chest and was looking down, kind of bent down a little bit to see me over its left shoulder.
Did any of the body language, I mean, not even body language, but the way it was positioned, like its head looking at you, did it seem unnatural or was it just like somebody who was looking over their shoulder back behind them?
Yeah, it looked just like a person who was standing there with their arms crossed, looking back over their shoulder.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the way you're describing this almost sounds like there was something there that you saw and it was almost like it was facing away from you for a reason. Almost like it was just the body language of it sounds like it was looking out for you or guarding you or something like that. When you wake up and look behind it, like, hey, you're awake. Okay. Like it's kind of weird like that. Don't you think?
Yeah. I never thought of that, but yeah, I mean, cause it wasn't, I mean, I've heard other people's stories of seeing shadow people. And a lot of those are pretty menacing where the shadow person is like leering down at them or in some sort of aggressive posture that looks like they're going to try to pounce or something like that. But that wasn't the case for this one at all.
Man, I almost wonder if you saw something that maybe was there for your own benefit. Like, who knows? Maybe this freaking monster you saw was going to track you down. I don't know. Because, I mean, like you said earlier, when you first saw it, you thought it was a demon. And so maybe there was some kind of like demonic spiritual aspect to it that was going to try attaching itself to whoever, you know, saw it. I don't know how these things work. I'm just, you know, theorizing.
Right. Yeah.
So you had these experiences in your home growing up after this sighting you had. But from what I understand, like you said earlier, you've had other experiences happen into your adulthood, right?
Well, before we jump into that, there's one more story I want to tell you that's kind of it happened while I was still living at home, and it's one of the more bizarre stories because I have no clue how to explain this one whatsoever. One night I had gotten up to go get a drink of water in the kitchen, and as I'm walking through the dining room, from our dining room you can see straight into our living room. And I look into the living room just because I can see directly in there. That's where I'm facing. And I see three people in the living room. Two people are sitting on the floor, and the third person is kind of behind them talking on the phone. And at first, I think I'm dreaming because my mom's at work, my brother's asleep, my dad's asleep. It's just me. So this can't be real. And then I realized that the colors of these people are pale blue and they're semi-translucent. So I can see the couch and thing behind them. And then I take a few steps forward and I'm able to get a clear view. And I have three sisters who live on the West Coast. And at this time, I was living in Arkansas, which is half a country away. I realized that these three people I'm seeing in my living room are my three sisters who live 2,000 miles away. Two of my sisters are in the floor playing a board game, and my third sister is behind them, standing up and walking back and forth, talking on the phone. And I'm just thinking to myself, I have got to be dreaming. This cannot be real. I don't know what's going on. So I just stood there staring. And eventually, my sister, who was walking with the phone, turned and she looked like she saw me. And I saw her get a shocked expression on her face. She dropped the phone, and before the phone hit the floor, they were gone. The whole scene was gone. And what was really bizarre about the whole thing was that I could see them, but I could also see the inanimate objects they were interacting with. I could see the board game. I could see the pieces on the board. I could see the phone that my sister was holding. I could see the cord coming off the phone going back to the wall, but I couldn't see the wall or anything. I couldn't see any of their other surroundings, but the inanimate objects that they were directly interacting with, I could see. And I just walked back to my room stunned, and I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night because I didn't know what I'd seen. And then the first thing I thought was, you know, something's happened. My sisters are dead. And that turned out not to be the case. They're still very much alive, but it just blew my mind. I have no idea what I saw.
What's interesting about this is, so you're seeing your sisters in what I think is probably the same timeline, just somehow you were seeing them in their remote viewing, their location. And what's interesting about this is the other part of this story, which is you got a chance to talk to at least one of your sisters about this later on. And what'd they tell you?
They said that my sister who was on the phone said that she looked up and she saw what looked like a white misty cloud that would be standing approximately the same distance away from them that I was. And then when she said something to my other sisters and they looked at me and they looked at the cloud, it said the cloud disappeared, which was about the same thing that happened to me when my sister looked at me. My first sister with the phone looked at me. She mouthed something to the others. They looked, and then my sister dropped the phone and it was all gone.
Right. And so that's kind of like where the story takes a turn, because now it's not you just having a vision of something that didn't happen. You were hallucinating, things like that, to the fact that you saw your sisters and they reacted to you seeing them in your vision of, let's just call it remote viewing. And then later on, you asked them about it and they say, yes, that did happen to them, that very scene. But what they saw wasn't you, but a white mist. So it takes this idea and this experience you had and moves it from this idea of a hallucination to I was just seeing things, I don't know what that was about, to that really happened to all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was crazy, because when I asked my sister about it, I didn't actually ask her if she'd seen anything. I was talking to her and I told her about what I'd seen. And that's when she was like, I remember that exact scene and this is what we saw. So that's one of those experiences that are mind blowing, that kind of open your mind to, you know, all the possibilities out there that we don't know anything about yet.
Absolutely. And it seems like, I mean, I just have so many questions about you can't answer, because how does that even happen? How is that possible? Like, I don't know what else to call it but remote viewing. And if you're remote viewing, you did it by accident. You didn't mean to do it, but somehow it happened, you know?
Yeah, and one of my sisters, the one who happened to be talking on the phone, she's had several weird things. Now, I've always been kind of on the fence about psychics, you know, skeptic about them. But my sister claims that she has some things, and she said some things that have really made me question whether or not she could really be legit. Like one of the things that she told me was that her husband had astral projected one night. And I thought, you're a lunatic. You're crazy. That's just this new age garbage. And then she told me this story that she was in her room and she was laying on her bed and she saw her husband walk in the door, and she wasn't expecting him because he was working somewhere either a few hours away or somewhere out of state. And she wasn't expecting him. So she got up and said, oh, hey. And she went over to go give him a hug. And she walked right through him and he disappeared. And she immediately got on the phone and called him, and he was still at his work location several hours away. Another thing that she's done is when I was, I just turned 16 years old, my cousin was killed in a car accident, and she was more like a sister. We were raised together. She was killed in a car accident, and this same sister who had never seen where my cousin lived or anything like that had a dream about her where my cousin said, hey, everything's okay. I'm in a better place. You know, tell everybody I miss them and I love them, and everything's okay and I'm fine. And then my sister was able, in excruciating detail, to describe the room that this conversation took place in. And it took place in my cousin's bedroom exactly as it looked when she passed away. Even down to the clear telephone that she had that would light up rainbow colors when it rang. My sister, who'd never seen the room or heard anything about the room, described that. She described the posters on the wall. She described the exact bed covers and sheets that were on there. She just described that there was a basket of dirty clothes in the exact place where there was a basket of dirty clothes. And that was, yeah, so that I'm not sure if I initiated that or if that's something that it was possible came from her, because she's had more things along those lines happen to her. But yeah, those are some pretty strange stories she told me.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of throws a curveball to the whole thing now, because maybe it was your sister that was initiating this whole experience that you had. And, you know, maybe it's something that she didn't even mean to, because like the other experiences that you just shared, it sounded like it wasn't like she was seeking it out. It just happened. And so maybe when she's a kid and the experience you had with her was something that just happened with her, and maybe whatever she's able to do wasn't completely developed, so that on her end, she doesn't see you, but they see a white mist. Now, when she had this experience with her husband, did he recall anything, or was he just like, I don't know what you're talking about?
He said he was sleeping. He didn't have a clue what was going on.
Okay, so he was sleeping. There was a possibility of him astral projecting while he was sleeping, or maybe not even, and just not remembering it. What I just find interesting is that your experience with them seeing a white mist. How many times do we hear people say a very similar thing, like a white mist appeared in a room and they don't know where it came from? Makes you wonder what that white mist is now.
Yeah, I mean, because people, for the most part, the go-to for that is that it's a spirit or a ghost or something like that. But, you know, with what I've experienced, it's always made me wonder, you know, is it something coming from someone else here on this earth and not someone who's passed away? I mean, it's just more questions than answers, Tony.
I mean, that's the way it is all the time, isn't it? I mean, everything we deal with, I don't have answers for. We just talk about things and, you know, hear people's experiences and try to draw conclusions when we can. But I mean, in all reality, we have no idea what we're talking about. Like, really, I mean, people's experiences and stuff, I can't identify what they went through, and I can't tell them exactly what it is with 100% certainty. Because, I mean, this is a crazy world we live in. And when we're talking about the advancements in science that we have with like quantum physics and stuff, like scientists don't even totally understand how quantum physics work. But what we understand about quantum physics is maybe it would explain some of these paranormal experiences that we're having.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I try to keep up on that stuff. I'm not quite smart enough to keep up at that level.
No,
but,
me neither.
You know, yeah. So yeah, it's I definitely. I mean, it definitely makes you wonder what humanity is capable of when we're able to access parts of our mind that aren't there every day or are blocked off from us.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many different channels you can go into trying to explain these things and try to garner information. It's just, I don't know. It's mind blowing though, for sure. And your sister, there might be something up with your sister, and it had more to do with her than you with that experience.
Yeah. I think so. Like, you know, she's got hundreds and hundreds of more, you know, like, yeah, and one of them will kind of come into play in a story that I've got that we'll get into it in a little bit. But yeah, she's always had experiences like that and things like talked about, you know, weird happenings of seeing people and talking to people and seeing places that she's never seen before, but being able to describe them down to the smallest detail. So wow. It's weird.
Yeah, it can definitely be weird. But so what are some of these other experiences you are referencing?
Well, one of them is when I was living in an apartment. I'd just gotten a divorce and I'd moved out and I'd gotten an apartment. And while I was laying down, I was, you know, basically, you know, I was down, you know, I was really in a bad place and was just laying in my bed, you know, trying to just think about how was life going to get better. And I start drifting off to sleep. And right as I start drifting off to sleep, I start hearing the cabinets in my kitchen, the cabinet doors are opening and shutting. And it really freaks me out because the first thing I think is somebody's broken into my apartment. So I pick up my firearm, I start walking through, and I get into the kitchen, and there's nobody there. All the cabinets are closed, there's nobody there. I had a cat, so then the first thing I thought, okay, well, it was my cat. Well, my cat was off in the second bedroom on top of her perch, out like a light, completely asleep. So if my cat had run from the kitchen to get to that room and get up on top of that perch, anybody who's heard a cat run knows you're going to hear a cat run, especially across tile and especially across laminate flooring. I didn't hear any of those things. So I thought, I just chalked it up to being, you know, maybe I was just hearing things. So then I went back and laid back down and basically closed my eyes and just started trying to, I guess you could think of it as a form of meditation, where basically all I was trying to do was just trying to focus on how I was going to get through this divorce. You know, how was I going to work past all the heartache and the pain and how I was going to be happy again. And just as I started drifting off to sleep again, I hear someone very loudly in my ear yell, "Hey." And that just shook me awake. And it really startled me. So that the next day I started talking to my sister, who has all these weird things happen. And what she said that she believes it was her son, my nephew, David, he had committed suicide several years before. And she said that things like that have happened to her. And she feels that that's him trying to protect her or me from getting into a point to where we could be oppressed or I don't really want to say possession, but kind of invaded or whatever, where something can alter our feelings and emotions and things like that. And for the worst. And she said that she felt that was him coming to me because of the way what I was focusing on was how to get better. And according to her, the bad guys, you know, basically don't want you to be happy. They want you to be miserable. They want you to be in pain. They want you to suffer. And they felt that they had a good target in me because of where I was at this place in my life. But instead of focusing on the negative, I was trying to focus on the positive and they were trying to pull me back down. That's her explanation. I don't have a clue, but that's what she theorized that it was my nephew David yelling at me to wake me up to keep me from going into this state to where I could be oppressed.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, it's a very interesting theory. And, you know, there is no really true answer as to, you know, what exactly was going on and stuff. But it, what she says makes sense to me. I mean, if there was some kind of guardianship going on there, and knowing that the mental frailty of your condition at that point, who knows, you know?
Yeah, because, yeah, as anyone who's actually been on been through a divorce knows, it's a pretty gut-wrenching deal, and you go through a lot of stuff, and you go through a lot of doubt, and you even go so far as I was engaging in some pretty self-destructive behavior. Like, I'd started, you know, I've always, you know, drink a beer with dinner or something like that, but I had really started drinking. And I, at the time, I used to, on an amateur level, I used to race 1,000cc sport bikes, and I had my motorcycle out front, and I would drink and jump on it, and I'd be doing 130, 140 down the interstate, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I was really in a spiral of self-destruction, and, you know, luckily I had some good friends who helped pull me out of it. But, during that spiral of self-destruction, I noticed that that's when, you know, almost like poltergeist activity would start up again. You know, I would start noticing things, even this apartment, I would start noticing things not where I left them, things disappearing only to show up days or weeks later in a very obvious spot, doors opening and closing, weird sounds, some whispers, things that sound like people talking to me. And it seemed like as I started coming out of this self-destructive phase and focusing more on the positive and just trying to become, you know, get better, is when they started to seem to be to taper off, because I realized that if I kept going the way I was going, I was going to kill myself, and I was most likely going to kill someone else. And that's really what sobered me up to the idea of, like, I didn't care what happened to me, but I did not want to hurt somebody else. I did not want what was going on with my life to affect someone else's life in a permanent way because of some poor choices that I made. And that's what turned me around and made me start really thinking that, okay, I need to focus on what it's going to take to make me happy and go forward. But it seems like for me, when I'm in my darkest times is when weird things start happening. I mean, even to this day, I mean, in this house I live in now, I've seen, when I'm in a particularly depressed state or something, I'll see white mists outside the windows, that, and it's 80, 85 degrees outside. There's no reason for there to be a white mist hovering outside a window.
Yeah. Did you ever, in those situations, well, first of all, I'd like to say, I'm glad that you were wise enough to stop, you know, living the life that you were living, because if nothing else, I mean, especially if you really at that time don't really care much about yourself, the fact that you were able to care for other people in the sense that, you know, I don't want to hurt somebody else just because I'm in a bad mental state right now. But do you think that in those moments where you are in bad states of minds and these things are happening, do you think that your mental state of being is almost like an open door for things to come in and start, you know, showing themselves to you?
I do, because I think that, you know, that I think that there's, you know, true evil in the world, both humanity and spiritual. And I think that when you're in a place like that mentally, that you are opening the door for these things that want nothing more than for you to suffer. It's like, you know, everything I say is basically going to be speculation, because it's almost like they enjoy the misery and the suffering of humanity and people, and they want to drive you down further and further. And sometimes it almost seems like the ultimate goal is to cause you to end your own life. But yeah, I definitely think that, because whenever that starts to happen to me, whenever I start getting really upset, really down, and I'm not just talking about like, you know, oh, I'm upset because I'm having trouble paying bills this month. I'm talking about when I start really getting down, things start to come around.
Yeah. And you know, you're not the only person that has those experiences. A lot of people tend to have those kind of experiences where the paranormal type things start happening in their lives when they're in bad states. And it just seems like you're an easy target because you're already in a negative mindset. And so it's easy to kind of come in and harass you. I've seen that a lot in different people's lives and stuff. And like you said, I mean, there is no real scientific answer to these things, but it's like pattern recognition. You know, you start recognizing patterns in certain people's stories and it's like, okay, you know, maybe this is a possible solution or not solution, but possible answer as to what's going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I absolutely believe that. So I used to, like I said earlier, I used to be really involved in church and I had a lot of really bad experiences in churches that kind of drove me away, but it didn't really affect, my belief in God or anything like that. It just affected the way that I think about organized religion and churches. But it seems like, you know, when I start falling into areas where I start doubting, I start wondering, oh, is this even real or anything like that? That also seems like a huge invitation for these things to start coming around and screwing with me again. And then something happens, and then it's like there's no question in my mind that all this is real. You know, your God is real. Everything is there, and it's don't question because it is there. But yeah, I mean, I've had quite a few issues with trying to make sure that I keep myself on the positive, because that seems to really keep the experiences at bay, which is, it feels kind of weird for me to say that being the kind of person that I am, that I feel like I'm, a very, very grounded, very logical person. And, you know, like I said, the open-minded skeptic. But a spade is a spade. And when I'm keeping very positive, these things don't happen. When I fall into the negative, they start to happen. That's just the way it's been.
Yeah. And I mean, if that's the proof that you've seen in your own life, then just follow that until the evidence is no longer there for it. You know what I mean? You can only go by off of what your experiences are. So if your experiences are when I tend to be more negative and questioning life and things like that, these things happen to me, then being proactive about it and trying to pursue a life of positivity and, things that are going to keep these things at bay. Until it doesn't work, then it works, and it's a good theory to have, right?
Absolutely, yeah, and that's what I try to operate on every day. I mean, every day I try to find the positive. Every day, my main focus now is to be the best human being I can be, and that basically means that, you know, if I can do something that's a win-win for me and someone else, then great. So that's. As long as I keep my focus as being trying to be the best human being I can be, then everything seems to stay at bay, and it makes me feel good, makes me feel better, and keeps this negative junk away from me.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, that's a great positive message to kind of put on the rest of your experiences. You know, like it's just. You know, you had these experiences and, you know, you learned from them and you found something that actually keeps them at bay, which is positivity, which I recommend for everybody to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your experiences, man. I really did enjoy talking to you.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if this is going to be on there, but you got time for me to tell you one last story.
Oh, yeah. I didn't stop recording yet. So go right ahead.
All right. Well, I want to tell you this one and hopefully you or maybe some of the listeners out there can help me make sense of what this was. And this was the one of the biggest things that I've experienced to date. And this happened about, I'd say probably about 4 years ago. I was in the hospital and they didn't really know what was wrong with me. I had an entire team of doctors. I had infectious disease doctors, just this whole team that was checking everything that could possibly be wrong with me. And I was laying in my hospital bed. I had been in the hospital for about 4 days at this point. And I was laying in my bed, and my current wife was sitting over in the chair beside me watching TV. And I was kind of in and out of sleeping. And I woke up, and I see my whole body is surrounded by what looks like an oblong, like canopy, you know, like you've seen like a canopy on like an F-16 or something. It's kind of got that rounded. It looked like my whole body was encased in one of those, but what I was seeing were stars and space. And it was the most beautiful depiction of space and stars I'd ever seen in my life. And the stars, some of them were glittering. Some of them were bigger than the others. There were, I mean, you could see like all kinds of colors of yellows and blues and reds and purples. And I knew that I was awake because I could look over and see my wife and see her watching TV. And I could see the program that was going on TV. So I was looking at everything and I thought, this is amazing. What is this? And so then I reached my hand up to touch one of the stars, and I touched one of the stars. And as soon as I did, the whole thing disappeared and I was just right back where I was again. My sister, whenever weird things happen, she's the one I go to because I don't have a clue. She said that she thinks that there was a possibility that I was on the verge of death, and that maybe when I reached up to touch the star, it was kind of God's or the universe's way of saying, we're not ready for you yet, and sent me back. But I don't have a clue. I never had any feeling like I was leaving my body or anything like that at all. I just saw this amazingly beautiful shell of, or star field that went from above my head, behind my head, all the way down to over my feet and completely engulfed me on my left and right sides. And it was just the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
I mean, it's the way you described it, it definitely sounds beautiful. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, is he having a vision? But what you described almost sounds like a near-death experience. And, you know, people, when they have a car accident and they die in the car accident and they come back to life, a lot of times they describe, you know, not knowing what happened at first, where they, like, maybe they knew they were in a car accident, but not realizing that they're dead until they're like 100 feet away from their body, kind of almost like being sucked out of this realm, and they see their dead body. And then, you know, that they'll talk about going almost like through space and seeing the stars and the planets around them. And then, you know, maybe something happens and they get sucked back into their body. Well, I mean, it's not identical to what you experienced, but to the point where it was like, you were aware of the reality that's here, but you were operating in a different reality. And the whole seeing the universe thing is something that's very commonly expressed when people experience and describe their near-death experiences.
That's crazy. Cause I mean, I didn't even realize that I was that sick. You know, we thought it may have been kidney stones or something, but, apparently I was pretty sick. So, it was beautiful. It wasn't scary at all. I didn't have that overwhelming feeling of peace that a lot of people talk about. I just felt normal. And I didn't have this feeling of being outside myself or anything like that. I just saw this beautiful star field. And I had this thought in my head as I reached up to touch the star that I could touch whatever star and I can go there. And then that's where I can go to that star. I can visit it. I can see it. So when I reached up to touch one, everything just kind of was instantly gone.
Wow. Fascinating stuff, man. Absolutely fascinating. Some of the things that you've seen in your life, I don't know if I'd want to go through some of the experiences, but to be able to, if I could have almost like a time travel experience where I'm able to kind of out of body experience what you have seen, some of the things, I would love to. I mean, just what you described here with the stars and then all the way back to the beginning of this monster you saw in the woods when you were a teenager. I just wish I could see what you saw sometimes, man. This is some fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it's really cool to see and talk about, you know, after the fact. And it's especially really cool to be able to tell somebody about it that doesn't think I'm a lunatic or that I was hallucinating or seeing things. You know, that's a great vindication, because I stopped telling people about what I'd seen because I got tired of being made fun of. I mean, I don't care what people think to a certain degree, but when people are actively harassing you about it, you get sick of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good to be able to kind of get these experiences out there and get them in front of some people who may have an idea of what I experienced, what's going on. Because for me, I don't know. I don't know what that thing was. I don't know what those stars were. I don't know why I saw, you know, almost apparition like, you know, images of my sisters. I don't understand or any of these things, but it's good to be able to get the experiences out there and not be thought of as crazy.
Well, I certainly don't think you're crazy, my friend. I think that your experiences are ones that people would wish they could experience, some of them at least, or at least see what you saw, because anything from your sisters to the monster to the universe around you, very fascinating stuff, man. I do appreciate you coming on and sharing it.
I appreciate you letting me be on, brother.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy, go ahead and share the show with your friends, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I don't care how you share the show, just share the show. And now, without any further delay, let's get to this week's extended outro, starting with my own personal mashup that I created called Swiftfeeded. And then we're going to transition into the TC Mix, about 25 minutes of mashup mixes just for you. If you enjoy this extended outro, post a video on Instagram of you listening to the outro while you're working out, dancing, jogging. I don't care what you're doing, but if you're enjoying it, post a video and tag The Confessional so we can share it with everybody else. All right, guys. And until next week, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye.
Under pressure, man, that's how we do it. We at war, we at war. But have you even looked at the scoreboard? Scoreboard, scoreboard. W's all day, what you scared for? Scared for, scared for. Ain't nothing coming at us that we ain't prepared for. Yeah. Undefeated.
That's right. Sitting all alone to a beat there. Homie, what I look like, trying to get approval. All these funny looking rappers in their cool clothes. Independent rappers throwing up the tune, bro. And I'll be rapping Mr. Gang to my funeral. This is how it goes, and I know it's so beautiful. Cause if you're doing what I'm doing, it's unusual. And if I didn't mention God, I'd be stupid, though. Cause down at the pair, my locks is there to swing. Down at the pair, pieces repeating, beating my sins. Down at the pair, but ain't talking about rings. Ain't worried about the bling, I've been crying by the king. Trying to finish up an album. Gotta hustle every day, never had an outcome. 2 years before they were asking where you found them. Feel like Wu-Tang, 93 Shaolin. I just wanna live young, party with my misfits. Always was to stand out, never try to fit in. I'ma do me, I never try to give in. Everybody got a cosign, we're the ones who say, I'm shot a text with the dragon face. So I hit him with the whales. Me and my lady doing real good. Young boy about to take a trip to Zales. That's trail. Never ever thought that I would settle down. Every other
favorite. Yeah. Down at the really know y'all can board, it's the fast track. Down at the pairs, down at the pairs.
Even when they're hating on me, homie, I don't get mad. I just keep picking these glam racks. Down at the pairs, I came, I saw, down at the pairs, chance here off to y'all, break off the wall. They just drop the mark, talk no lie, but homie, y'all be all
right. Now live the rap life, why the heck you made it? Scratching on their head like they had lights. Now I gotta catch the last flight, cause I got church in the AM. Preach, call me Uncle Drew, they don't know who they playing with. But there's levels to this weird, levels to this beard. Rappers I grew up on, now levels with my peers. I'm down at the pairs, pants here to Ahi. Cool G sweat hills knitted by the Aussies. But
yo, catch me in Washington Heights. Not speaking English.
Yeah, break ground if the ghost down. When I step up in the town, call me Jack Flowers. Bring the sound, homie, make it loud. Pump it up like Joey Bud if you ain't a coward. Take it to the head, ayy. One time to the base, give you head aches. Crack shells to the head, break. When it's crunch time, I'ma clutch mine, homie. I've been hungry like a wolf. Black chain bang against my chest like, whoa. $1 million mind from the west side, yo. The full moon, if we gon' get wild, yo. Stressed out, you don't want to get too close. Stand down, before we put you and all of your men down. Fire squad, camo, kicking through the door. Keep firing till the clip is on the floor. Reload!
To the Confessionals mix.
I'm waiting till I'm mother. When I got nothing on my mind, I just can't wait to rediscover when I meet with you again. Oh, I just can't wait until the summer, where my spirit's free, no one's stopping me now. I just can't wait until the summer, when I meet with you again. Yeah, I just can't wait until the summer, when my spirit's free, no one's stopping me now. I just can't wait until the summer, when I meet with you again. Yeah, I just can't wait, 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 wait. I just can't wait, wait.
Hey everybody, this is DJ Schmolli from Austria, and you are listening to the Confessionals Mashup Mix with Tony.
You'll take my life, but I'll take yours too. You'll fire your musket, but I'll run it through. So when you're waiting for the next attack, you better stand, there's no turning back. The bugle sounds, the charge begins, but on this battlefield, no one wins. The smell of acrid smoke and horses' breath.
Looking down at all I see. Mashup mix with Tony. If you like what you hear, check out DJsFromMars.com. See you there. Bye.
Na 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 na. Don't you have some of that, some of this?
She sips a Coca-Cola. She can't tell the difference yet. Tell the difference yet. She sips a Coca-Cola. She can't tell the difference yet. Oh, 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 oh.